This is episode number 20 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of April 7th, 2008. On this week's show, we have distractions, gaming news, a discussion of leading ladies in video games, and new releases.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode number 20 of Interactive Distractions. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
Hey, guys.
And today, unfortunately, we have a sick Jason A. Stryker, so he will not be joining us on the show today. But it was our intent to have a fourth chair, who is actually now our third chair.
You've been promoted.
So back by popular demand, we have Crystal Olson.
Hi.
She sent in a voicemail that was 2.5 minutes, and everyone was talking about her being the fourth chair. So, you know, we're going to give this a shot and see if people like having a fourth chair. And it's not going to be Crystal every week, but, you know, we may do something like this again, so there you go. Anyway, Jeff, how's it going this week?
It's going good. Last day of week was done today. Today is Thursday, and by the time people are listening to this podcast, I will be in Punta Cana, polluted out of my face, and probably running around naked on the beach.
Nice. Well, don't send us pictures of that, okay?
Oh, there'll be pictures. VG Evo and GLF, look out.
Oh, boy. Great. Crystal, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Anything interesting going on this week?
School. I have 2 more weeks until finals. Yay!
Oh, gosh. I definitely don't miss those days.
Yeah, me neither.
I won't either.
Yeah, she's done in December, so I'm waiting for the party to happen after that happens.
Oh, there will be a party.
Oh, absolutely.
It may be a rock band party, but it'll be a party.
That. As long as I'm invited, I'm all good.
You're going to fly down from Canada? I'll send you an invite.
Sure.
You can crash December, the house, man.
December's not a busy month.
That's right, not at all. You can crash the house. I've got a guest bedroom.
Sweet.
We're two now.
That's right.
I'm not going anywhere close to Jason, though. I don't want to get sick.
Yeah, he seems to be sick every other week, literally. Didn't we go through this in episode 18 two episodes ago?
Probably.
Yeah, well, anyway, I have nothing going on, so I'm not even going to say anything.
All right.
Nothing interesting happened to me this week, so we'll move right into it. Jeff, what have you been playing this week?
Quick week again for me. 360, been kicking it back with Lost Odyssey still. I was on the third disc, getting back into it, and I get home from work one day. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play some Lost Odyssey, I'm looking forward to it. Get home, and my disc 3 is missing.
What?
Turns out, my neighbor came over and borrowed it. So, because I'm lending him the disc, because he loves, like, role-playing games. So, he was playing disc 3, and I went over there, and he's playing it. I'm like, I don't want to be a douche, so I'll let him play it. So, I played a different game, which I'll get to in a second. And then he eventually returned disc 3. He's like, I'm done disc 3, I need disc 4. So, I gave him disc 4. So, now I do have disc 3 back again. So, still going through that. I'm actually very close to disc 4 now, at the end of disc 3. Disc 3 is very story-driven. I found a lot of cinematics. It's pretty drawn out. In fact, I found a lot of people said that it was probably one of the favorite discs out of them, but it was probably my least favorite so far. Like, you get a lot of stuff, like I said, story-wise, a lot of stuff's revealed, a lot of cool stuff happens, but in terms of actual gameplay and stuff, I didn't like it because your characters kind of get split up, and there's time when you're just using mages, and it's pretty tough, and I was just kind of like, let's get this over with. But while I was waiting for disc 3 from my nice neighbor who decided to come in and steal my disc, I wanted to play role-playing games, so I started playing Final Fantasy XII again.
Ooh!
Because, of course, yeah, you were talking about it last week, and I was like, you know what, I do eventually want to beat that game. And I remember telling you I was at a party again where I thought I was underleveled. I went back and just kind of changed my party up a little bit, substituted Ash into my party, and I did all right. Progress it. I got to a point where how far are you now, Chris? Are you going to talk about Final Fantasy XII at all this week, or do you play last week?
Very little. I honestly just did. I got probably to the point where I have to. I went back to Ramanastra, and I have to now leave and go south.
Okay, so I don't think I'm there yet. I'm after the Leviathan, where you go through these I want to call them mines or like a factory kind of outdoor factory kind of thing. You're going over to Sansi. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we want the Sansi. Exactly. I'm just past that part, and you get down to this like little like village.
Yeah.
And I came. I was doing well fighting the like all the little sand people things and stuff. And then this, I'm not sure. Did you fight that sun looking thing?
Hell no.
Okay, I was sitting there. I'm like, it starts following me. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna chill. And it literally wiped out somebody in one hit. And I'm like, oh my god, not play. Like I was playing for a good 45 minutes over the sand. You know, I'm just, you know, exploring, getting all the treasures and stuff. And I'm like, oh my god, if I have to redo this again, I'm gonna shoot somebody in the face. So I just started running for it. And I just like literally ran. I busted out because I have the strategy guide. I busted the strategy guide. I'm like, where do I exactly do I have to go? Because it's kind of like a maze. And I was like every time I slow down, whack, one of my team members dead. I'm like, oh my god, and I have to keep subbing. You know, party members in there so I can stay alive, and I eventually ran directly to the village. So that's where I am right now. And then at that point, I'm going to just take about an hour and try to go through and get some license point stuff because I really need to do that.
Yeah.
But hopefully one day I will. Yeah, I'm going to get actually like my neighbor. He got pretty far into it, and he's one of those guys who's really anal with getting everything, and he takes his time with the license board and stuff. So I'm just going to get him come over and be like, listen, I have this many license board points. Buy me the shit I need. Like outside of equipment and stuff, like in terms of augments, and then that's good. Then I'll go
well,
from there.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I should probably wait to get to this, but I can go through it real quick. That is like the best place to grind that I've found so far because you can fight all those sand people, and as far as the big fireball looking things, they will not attack you or do anything to you until you cast the spell.
Oh, really? That's probably
as soon as you cast a spell while you're near one of them, if you're in spell casting range of them, they will automatically cast silence on your ass and then just go off on you.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They kept casting silence, and then I was just screwed.
Yeah. So just if you're near them, you can be near them. Just make sure that no one's going to cast any spells while you're around them.
All right, I'll make sure.
If you see someone trying to cast a spell, you need to cancel that shit right away.
Will do.
But yeah, but I actually went through and I got all of my augments up to the 500 plus 500 hit points.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I need to get
All my characters now have close to 2,000 hit points, and I'm still considered at like the beginning of the game.
Wow.
You're going to get to the next big dungeon area you get to. I'm basically just past that.
Okay.
Yeah, because basically all I did last week was grind to get license points to augment my characters.
That's the thing I'm going to start doing, because I realized going back to Final Fantasy XII, as much as I like Lost Odyssey, Square Enix just nails presentation, especially for the Final Fantasy series. Like, just something, watching those cutscenes and stuff, it just, like, it is so far and above everything else out there, like the role-playing. And especially in XII, I love the way the camera's kind of constantly moving. It's not like still camera with just the actors moving and stuff like that. They kind of add these kind of filter effects and everything just looks so cinematic. And just, I don't know, just something about the character. I don't know. I just really like it. I really want to beat that game, and I want it to be hopefully the first Final Fantasy I beat. But, yeah, so I was playing that. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I thought Krista said something.
No, I just laughed because the only game, one of the two games that I've beaten has been Final Fantasy game. So.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. The one that everybody hates, actually.
Which one's that?
Not everybody.
Seven? Well, almost everybody.
What? No, she beat 10-2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, that was the first game I've played all the way through.
Really?
Yeah, I was obsessed.
Oh. And now I have to beat one of them, because I love the Final Fantasy games. I've never beaten one, but that, again, that was in my whole Confessions
never
episode.
Never beaten one, man.
No, I never have. I've gotten close and stuff.
That. But, yeah, definitely need to go back and try 6.
Oh, I'm playing 6. Like I said, I'm at the Opera House in 6.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
And Game Boy Advance. But sticking with Final Fantasy theme, PSP, with you guys talking about Crisis Core, I finally busted that open. I couldn't wait.
I'm like, and now you're far ahead of both of us.
Most likely. I'm about 6 hours in. From 5.5 to 6 hours in. I'm not sure exactly how far in the storyline I am, or you guys are. I'm just after. Have you guys met Aerith?
I have not. I have done almost no storyline. It's like what Jason was saying that he did last week. That's what I did, like this week so far. It's been
side,
like,
side
yeah. I did the first I did the first main mission, and then I started the second main mission, and as soon as I found a save point, I started doing all the side missions.
Okay.
So that's where I am right now, and I'll get to that later. But
I may as well talk about it at the same time, because I have a lot of problems with this game, but also I can't put it down once I stop, because the game is... on PSP, graphic-wise, is amazing. Presentation's awesome. As a game itself, this is where the thing is. It's too random. Everything about it's too random and simple. I feel like every battle you go into, you really don't have to do anything besides just keep hitting X over and over and over again, because that little slot machine thing that goes on basically picks what spell, well, what big spells you're going to do, what kind of special attacks, which I wouldn't mind if there were your limit breaks and some special attacks here and there that it does, but literally everything. Your summons are controlled by that, which is a pain in the ass when you don't know when it's going to happen. So you could be in the middle of fighting, you're, you know, getting off these combos, you know, like shooting lightning and then hitting a dude with your sword, and you don't want to cast a sub, and all of a sudden you could be fighting this little tiny thing, and all of a sudden you summon Ifrit or Bahamut or something like that, and they come in and cause a ridiculous amount of damage for something that takes, like, one sword slice to kill. And then you're like, oh, great. Like, that's kind of like a waste, because I know I'm not going to see that again for another, like, 16 battles or so. And that's, my, I think, my biggest complaint with that is it's just too random, too easy. It's just, and I'll be looking at my health, and I'll be like, maximum hit points, like 1,500. And somehow I'll have 2,000 hit points, and I don't even know why.
Yeah, it's a break. Like, that happens when your DWM hits all three characters.
Yeah.
Actually, if it matches either all three characters and you get a power surge, or if you match like certain numbers, it will increase your all your stats, your AP, your MP, and your HP, right, whether they're maxed or not, and it will go over. So you get to they call that a break, and you'll see it like down at the bottom on your meters that says break next to it. That's what that means.
But yeah, I don't know. It's too random, isn't that effect. It's kind of like simplistic, and I wish you had more control over what you're actually doing in battle. The storyline's okay so far. The cinematics are friggin' amazing. And another thing is, it's just very basic. They kind of like hold your hand a little bit too much in terms of where to go, and it's very linear. But like I said, the game, I can't put it down. Like the side missions are, it totally has that just one more feeling. Like you do a mission, then you're like, okay, One more, then I'll go to bed.
Yeah, because they're so short, you know? They only take, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, some of them take, like, 30 seconds. I did one, I was like, okay, just go here and, you know, refight.
Like boss and
exactly, and then you get, like, a wicked-ass materia, which, the materia system's awesome, I love it. I like how you can fuse your own materia. I've already created some pretty decent materia, and I'm kind of close to the beginning of the game, and I'm kicking some ass. But other than it being kind of, like, really simple and really, really random, I think it's perfect for the PSP. I think I'd recommend it to almost everybody because it's just so good for the portable system. If you want to advance anything, you'd sit down, play for 3 minutes, and you've advanced a storyline, or you've done like 4 or 5 side missions. It's also gotten me back. I want to play some more Final Fantasy VII because I didn't play too much of that back in the day. And I was looking at prices on Amazon and eBay. I'm like, I am not paying like $80 to $100 for this game.
Yeah, so it trips me out that it's that much, because that game... I mean, I remember when I was working at Swap USA, the video game store that I worked at, we would have tons of that game, and we actually had it priced for like $20 at one point.
Yep, when I worked at EB as well, we had a crap ton of them in when we still stocked PS1 games, and I was like, yeah, I guess I can get picked up whenever I want to, and apparently not. So I was looking around, I'm like, you know what, screw this, I'm just going to post on GLF, you know, if anyone happens to have Final Fantasy VII, if they want to, like, lend it to me or sell it to me or whatever. And luckily enough for me, Samdu, he's a regular on GLF as well as VG Evo, he was nice enough to let me borrow it, so he's going to ship that over to me, and I'm going to try to play through that, because it's going to kind of give me the drive to do that. So I'm on, like, a big Final Fantasy kick right now. So Samdu, I know you're listening. He's a loyal listener. Thanks a lot, dude. I'll pay you back somehow. And that's basically been it for my week. Pretty short.
Cool. Crystal, why don't you tell us what you've been playing this week?
Well, we started reading Romance of the Three Kingdoms in my Chinese Lit class, so I had to pick up the Dynasty Warriors type series again, because I'm in love with it. Unfortunately, like, I didn't actually pick up Dynasty Warriors because I realized that I didn't play much of Samurai Warriors 2, and that's a little more recent, so we actually picked up that and played that a little while. And then I realized how boring it is once you've gotten through most of the storylines. And And so I had to stop playing that after a little while. I was like, okay, I've got my, you know, 5-minute fix. I think I'm good to go.
Well, it was longer than that. We played 2-player on it, and we went through like 4 or 5 missions. It was fun.
You can play split screen, or are you guys playing like
split screen? No, no, no. Yeah. This is Samurai Warriors 2. It's for PS2.
Oh, okay. I don't know. There's so many of them. I don't know what's on what.
Yeah, we played, like I said, we played that for a little while, but it's, if you're not playing the storyline mode, you can only play the 2-player mode for a little while before you're like, okay, this is getting really repetitive. Unless you do what me and my sister used to do in high school, and that's like compete for kill count. And she always beat me, and I have no idea how. But we'd be like, oh, I killed 3,000 warriors this time. And I'm like, oh, I'll beat you next time. So.
What?
It was more fun with Samurai Warriors 1, where they had, like, you could create your own officer, and then they had, like, challenge modes to where you had to try and, like, do the most mushos and stuff like that, and it was really fun, because it was a lot harder to do.
So the second one's basically ass?
Well, it's not that bad, it's just, they don't have the create character mode anymore.
That's shitty.
So it's not quite as fun, so...
See, it's kind of weird. They had that in the first one. It's weird that they remove features.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, it was a separate mode. Like, you went into the main screen and you could go to create an officer, and you had to. It was a little annoying because you had to beat like 3 of the different modes in order to make your officer playable in the regular game. So it was really annoying because I sucked at a lot of the modes, and I could only do like the Mushou mode and the melee attack mode. And I was like, yes, I can beat 2, but I have to beat, like, 2 more, and I can't do that. So, it got really annoying after a while. I was like, dang it! I only got 1 through in the end. But they have, like, pre-created characters, like, designs for you to choose from, too, so.
Well, you're definitely not the only person who finds those games annoying, so don't worry about it.
Oh, no, I love the games. It's just, after a while, it's like, okay, it's time to move on to something else. Because you can't beat it. Like, there's no way to just beat the game unless you want one of those completionist people who can play it until it's gone and dead and you never want to touch it again.
There are those people out there.
Well, I was going to say, I got that feeling for it after, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
for the 360 one, anyway.
Well, if you play the Mushou modes, it gets a little more interesting because at least you've got a storyline and you can play to the end. But there's only, like, 4 different, or maybe 10 at the most, different, like, scenes that you have to go through, and then you've beat the game. Hmm. So, unless you want to play every character in Mushou mode, which I never, ever want to do.
Sounds great.
Because some of them play really obnoxiously. No, they do. They're, like, big and slow, and you're like, I just want to move. Please let me move across the screen faster. I picked up Brave Story again, which is fun, and I might actually beat it sometime in the next, like, month. Although finals are soon, so maybe not. But
that's
okay.
You'll have after finals to do it.
Yeah, after finals. All of May. But I like Brave Story because it's really easy. Like, really easy. It's a straightforward RPG that you just play through. I died once so far. And I'm almost to the end of the game. Which, for me, is pretty... It's a talented game because I die a lot. Do what?
Yeah, it's right up your. He said it's like one that he'd want, and it probably is right up your alley. It'd be a big change from Lost Odyssey, I promise.
Yeah, that's basic as hell. That's probably why I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's very straightforward, like Final Fantasy type structure. So it was just like all you have to do is pick which spell you want to use, or maybe not use a spell and just attack, stuff like that. The end levels are getting a little harder and really annoying. Because you keep running out of magic points when you need them, and there's not a save point to, like, reimburse you on magic points. So you have to start, like, avoiding battles because you don't have enough, like, stuff to take out things with. So it gets really annoying. But otherwise, it's pretty cool.
Good question. How's the, micromanaging in it?
Do what?
Like, is there a lot of micromanaging in it? Do you have to, like... be constantly equipping, not equipping characters, or...
No.
There's no license board or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. There's no sphere grid, nothing like that. It's very straightforward.
Good stuff. That's what I like to do.
All you gotta do is acquire your spells through leveling up and then use them.
I think that's awesome, because I think I found out, just like another game I forgot to mention, I was playing more NBA 2K, but that's not exciting. But I think micromanagement is one of my most annoying things in video games, because even in a game like NBA or NHL or sports games, I'm not that guy who calls out plays. I just play the game. Whatever my players on the screen want to do, I let them do it. I don't like sit there and be like, hey, I'm going to call this play and this play. And I find the same way with like every game. Like any game that's too much micromanagement, I have to stop the game and be like, okay, what do I want to do or do this? And
don't play The Sims.
Okay, yeah, I know. I'd hate The Sims.
Yeah, and avoid Spore at all costs when it comes out.
The Sims 3 is supposed to be a lot less micromanaging. From what I've read, like, it's supposed to be, you can let your Sims do what they want, you want them to do more, and you less have to pause it to make them go to the bathroom. So.
Will they eat and piss by themselves? We're going to have to tell them
this? No, but the bars for that go up a lot more slowly, apparently. And, like, there's just one bar that tells you whether they're happy or not. So.
That's why I love games that have, like, context-sensitive controls. That stuff's, like, just... makes it so much easier. Go up against a wall, oh, my guy automatically goes and leans up against it. Perfect. I don't have to do anything. I'm the lazy gamer. It's like, not the patience.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I want to start Final Fantasy VI again, but it's kind of, like, after playing Heavenly Sword and finishing it, like, nothing else sounds good. I'm like, oh, I could play this, but it's not Heavenly Sword. I'm like, oh, I could play this. No, I haven't played God of War, but Kratos...
I'm not sure if you heard. I'm a pretty big advocate of the God of War.
Well, I mean, I watched Chris play it, and it seems like it's a little more difficult than Heavenly Sword as far as, like, managing the fighting. And considering I have very little gaming skill...
If you can get through Heavenly Sword, you can play God of War. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. If you can get through Heavenly Sword, you can probably get through
I think Heavenly Sword has a more... It's a harder combat system than God of War does.
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's much less countering involved.
Countering.
I mean, you do have to figure out some of the combos and you know.
Well, see, the thing is, like, I noticed when you were playing it, there's a lot of the button pushing, where you have to push, like, X, and then you have to push square, and then you have to press, and that's the stuff that gets me the most.
Oh, quick time events?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know where the buttons are. I'm not a hardcore gamer, so for me, I have to, like, sit there and look at the control and go, okay, there's the X, punch, okay. And then by then, it's already like, oh, sorry, you were too late. You're supposed to be pressing triangle now. I'm like,
And what sucks with God of War is, well, it doesn't suck. I mean, it would probably be a negative to you, is in Heavenly Sword, they had those, but they stayed constant. You just had to memorize the order. Whereas God of War, they change out the actual order.
Oh, see? Yeah. That would drive me crazy, because that's the only way I got through some of the bosses on Heavenly Sword was by memorizing the order.
Yeah, the last boss in God of War 2, when you're fighting him, you have to end the actual fight with a quick time, and it took me freaking a billion tries, because
you have to do, like, 8 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like, I don't throw my controller too much, but I'm pretty sure I threw the controller quite a few times fighting the last boss.
Yeah, I throw the controller a lot, Chris can attest. Like, every time a boss defeats me, I'm like, screw this! And I throw the controller, and then I don't play it again for a month.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Plus, Kratos is not as hot as Noriko.
We'll get into that later.
Funny.
Not saying I agree with you or disagree with you. I'm just saying that was like an example I was going to use in a later segment.
Well, but it's true. I mean, Kratos is just like this dirty, like half breed thing, and Noriko is just gorgeous.
Half breed thing.
He is a man god.
Well, technically.
Well, yeah, I guess he is.
Yeah,
he's the new Hercules.
At the beginning of part two.
All right, Chris, what's distracting you, buddy?
All right, well,
besides our conversation,
Noriko.
For PS3, we did some Rock Band this week. That was fun. I had some people over for a little get together we did on Friday, and you know, many of them were novices at Rock Band, and it was a good time, you know, because they're all like flustered about it. They're playing on easy, and you see a person sit down at the drums for the first time, and they're playing on easy, and they're like, "Oh my god!" So,
well, especially since she was a percussionist in high school.
Oh, Burr? Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, why is this not working the way it's supposed to?
And Jeff, I don't know if you can attest to this or not, but it's kind of a good feeling when one of the newbies, you know, plays drums and they're playing on easy, and then, you know, as soon as they finish, you sit down at drums and you put it on hard, and they're looking at you like, wow. And you're thinking to yourself, it's really not that bad.
No, I did feel like that at first until Rudson came over those few times to play with us, and then he'd go on expert, and then I'd be like, yeah.
I'm the same way when Jason plays them, because it's kind of like, you know, Jason plays almost every song on expert that we play over here. So he sits back and he just starts going off. I'm like, you the man, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You the man. All right. Let's see. Last night we had our Warhawk Wednesday.
Missed
again.
Hey, what time do you guys play till?
Well, yesterday I was having some connection problems or something. I got booted like 3 times. And after the 3rd time, I was just like, forget it. You know, we play, but we start up about, you know, 9 o'clock. And, you know, I got kicked the 3rd time at like 10:30. And there were still like 6 people on.
Really?
And apparently a lot of people were having trouble getting into the game. Like, Black Skimmer was saying that he was having trouble. Torgo was having trouble. Industria was having trouble. So I don't know if that the game was just not created correctly or what, but, you know, at one point we had like 8 people in there.
It could be whoever was hosting too. If their NAT settings are set, if they're like a closed NAT or half open NAT or whatever, that can stop some people from joining.
Gotcha.
But it's totally my bad that I missed yesterday, because I got home from the gym probably at like 9:30-ish, and I was sitting there like, what should I play? And I ended up playing NBA 2K, and I totally forgot about Warhawk.
It's such a douche. Not nearly as much fun as Warhawk, man.
Oh, of course not. I love Warhawk, and I rarely ever get the chance to play it. And the new patch came out too, right?
Yeah, new patch came out, open mic, and it is... Yeah. It's very. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, because I spend most of my time in a Warhawk, and trying to click down the left analog while you're flying sucks balls.
Yeah, it does. But we got a chance to we did all deathmatch. We did 2 ground deathmatches, and then 1 in the air, and it was rotating. And you know, there were probably at one point there was 8 of us in the same room, and we were having a lot of fun. I got the chance to try Pro Flight in the Warhawk, and you know, I'm still getting the hang of it, but I have to say that it was easier to like dodge missiles and stuff like that, and I was getting the hang of it pretty quick.
What, when you use 6 axes?
No, from just using basic analog controls.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the, you know, I did a lot better in the Warhawk last night than I have in the past.
Yeah,
so you know, I'm getting there. It's but. Nothing took the cake like the last game that I played before I got kicked the last time, because it was a ground one. It was, let me see, who was it? It was like Jason and me and Nabo was there. Or one can was there, and Tondog and a couple others. And I mean, Jason was just killing us. It was like every time we turned around, there was Jason. You know, and it was like 2 people would be fighting, and either one person would kill the other, and then Jason would kill that person, or Jason would steal the kill and then still kill the other person. He was always there. He was never in the middle of a battle, like one on one. He was always on the outside looking in, and he just came and mopped up.
Yeah, he was a vulture.
He was exactly what he was.
People just hang back, let other firefights start, and then just toss in a couple grenades, start shooting, and get like 3 kills.
He had like a 10-minute game. He had like 24 kills or something ridiculous like that. And I was 2nd place and I had 13.
Not bad.
It was nuts. But
2 weeks from now I'll do it for sure.
Cool. But yeah, we had a good time. There were some memorable moments. There was I turned around ran around the corner at one point and literally ran smack into Jason as soon as he was throwing a grenade. So his grenade hit me, killed me, and then killed himself.
Nice.
It was awesome. And then, like, at the end of one game, I was just like, forget it! And I started chasing him with the knife, and he's shooting me running backwards. It was good stuff, man. That game was a lot of fun.
And everybody can hear each other and stuff, too? Like, it wasn't any problems with that?
Yeah, there was no problem at all. I mean, Jason didn't have a mic. I don't know what's going on with his, but he was having problems. But, you know, I had mine, Eamon had his on, Orwan had one, Nabo had one, so we could all hear each other pretty well.
Now, with the patch, did they fix any of the problems with getting friends in the games and stuff? Or, like, do they have any kind of party system yet or no? Did they update that?
I don't know. But remember that Glenn told us that we should start a clan.
True, so that's right.
I'm just going to jump in the VG Evo clan, and actually I think Torga said that he sent me an invite for it. So I'm just going to join the clan and, you know, give that a shot. They did add the home integration, where you can get everyone together in one room and then just start a game from there. So that'll be great once we get home.
Exactly, whenever that'll be.
Once
they add that, and once they add... Yeah, they might have changed this, but I hate in Warhawk how when you're making a room, you have to set all the settings first. You can't change them once the game started. You set your map rotation. Well, this is the way it was. I'm not sure if they fixed it, but you set your map rotation, your game rotation. But then it just keeps going through the games. But you can't, if you want to change, like, say, we want to go from, like, instantly, you want to be like, hey, we were tired of ground battles. We're going to go for, like, a Warhawk battle. Instead of having to all leave and creating a new game and playing it, you can just, like, I wish you could just change that after the game's done.
If that's there or not. But I will say that 2 weeks ago when we were playing, Eamon was running the room, and he had to exit out.
Yeah. I'm hoping if they can just fix that, because I just wish they get that standard, because it just makes it so much easier. And that game is, like, way up. That's up there with Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3 for me, with, like, multiplayer games. I think it's awesome.
Oh, really?
Just never get to play it, but now everyone's playing it again, so yeah.
Yeah, jump on.
We'll do.
Let's see, 360... played some Lost Odyssey. I was talking to you about this before we started, but I'm a little pissed off at it. You know, I'm not that happy with it at this point. I don't like the fact that, first of all, the whole trial and error boss fights, I have a problem with.
But like I said, they're not like that the entire game, though.
Okay, well that's good. But you know, I can deal with that. You know, if I go and I fight a boss and I die one time and I have to do it again, that's fine. The only thing that really got me about this boss is it's the first boss, and there's that mountain that you have to climb, and there's that portion where the wind is blowing really hard and you walk really slow.
Yeah.
And that was annoying. It's like,
that is annoying. There's a couple other parts like that too in the game too.
Dumb.
But luckily they're not for too long though. They're only for like a little bit.
Yeah. But you know, I can deal with the whole trial and error boss thing, but fighting a boss that kicks your ass, and then after you finish fighting them, you only get 10 experience points out of it? Or like 20, maybe?
Yeah, you mentioned that, though. Like I said, I never had that, though. I leveled up an entire level for everyone in my party after I beat that boss. So I'm thinking, because the way it works in the game is, say a boss is level like 17, it makes it so you can't get to that level, or you can't go further in that level to like totally just wipe out the boss. It tries to keep everything in a certain area. Like each dungeon has a maximum amount of hit point or experience points you can get to a certain level. After that, you don't make any more. It's very, very little. So I'm thinking you probably hit that max level before you fought the boss, because you said you beat him on your second try. It took me like at least 8 tries to beat him.
Oh, really?
And I had to really, really like think of every single move. I had to think of like, how am I going to beat this motherfucker? And then finally, when
See,
I beat him, I, like everyone gained at least a level.
I don't know how that could happen either, because like when I walked in, the first thing I did was I had everyone cast like defense up, and then everyone cast magic defense up, and then I pretty much Jensen, I made him cast magic while the other two were using healing items, because he kept poisoning me and all that other crap.
Yeah, basically what I had to do too.
magic, I hear magic missile. I had him cast magic missile.
I'm attacking.
You're casting magic missile. There's nothing to attack here. but that's not even what really got me, that what really annoyed me, because, you know, all right, he's a boss and he only gave me X amount of experience points, and I thought about that. I was like, well, I know that this has got like a level cap thing going on, so maybe that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I start moving further down and I start seeing these more powerful enemies. I'm like, oh good, I'm gonna start getting experience points again.
Yeah.
And I fight these two like reptilian saber tooth things that are called Saberellas or something like that. And I fight two of those and like two of these little like flying enemies. I don't remember what they're called. And the Saberellas can raise their attack power. Well, they can also dodge and counter. So they both raised their attack power, and then like three or four times in a row, they dodged and countered, and by the time all was said and done, two of my guys were dead, and Kayum would have been dead if he got hit one more time. Yeah. And I finished the battle, and Kayum was the only one to get experience points, and he got three. Literally three experience points.
Are you making rings?
Yeah.
And you're making the right rings to you have something set to tell you what each enemy, what their element is and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. The only thing I say is just stick with it, man, because I found it was really hard at the beginning, then it kind of levels off, and then it kind of goes like up and down in terms of difficulty. But I didn't have any of those problems. Like, I was gaining experience left, right, and center, especially like at the beginning. So
yeah, well, I mean, Kayum starts at level 10.
Yeah.
All right, and right now he's level 15. So I've only gone up 5 levels since the start of the game.
That's quite a bit, though, considering you haven't fought a boss yet.
Wow.
So I think you probably hit the max level for that dungeon. That's probably why you got like hardly any experience. But I don't understand how that one battle. Because remember how I mentioned the first time I played this on the show, how I thought the battles were really good because every battle seemed like you could die. Remember, I was like, you actually have to think about it, and like every battle is kind of intense. That kind of goes away after probably the first disc, not even the whole first disc. I'd say like halfway through the first disc, to when you get to a certain point where you're just like, you can just get to the point where some battles that you can just keep hitting A to kind of attack, wipe them out, next battle kind of thing. But just stick with it. At least play through disc one before.
Oh, I will. I'm not going to give up on it. That's not the kind of person I am. So it's not the kind of gamer I am.
Except Conan.
Ugh.
So that's only because I begged you to stop playing it.
As Crystal said, I picked up Conan.
Oh, did you?
I actually got it on eBay for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff,
the dialogue is so bad.
Yeah, the dialogue is ridiculously bad. And Jeff, if I were to tell you that this was a God of War ripoff,
yeah,
I can't even tell you how much of a God of War ripoff this game is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insulting to God of War, Christopher.
I was going to say, because it's not getting...
It's a very much subpar God of War ripoff.
Okay.
It handles
bosses the same kind of way and stuff? And...
Actually, yes, it does. Very much so. And But they tried to make each boss fight this epic boss fight, and they're just not. You know, and it's you fight each boss like 5 times. It's like you get their power bar down to nothing, and then they move to another area of the screen, and you have to run over there and fight them again.
Oh, I hate that shit.
I can't tell you how. I don't know what it is, though. It's like for some reason the game is still fun, and I think it's because the gameplay does kind of remind me of a God of War, and. You know, I like action games like that, and maybe it's also because you get to hack off limbs and cut people in half long ways.
And there's boobies.
Yeah, trust me. Every time I see one of
those
chicks...
They're not worth it.
Yeah, they're not. Every time I see one of those chicks tied up, I'm like, I so want to leave you here.
That's fun.
But, you know, you get experience points for unlocking them, but the things that they say when you unchain them... It's just it's dumb. I mean,
it's painful.
It is painful. And Jeff,
I begged him to turn it off.
To give you an idea how painful it is, when you unchain the chicks that are chained up, they say one of like 3 or 4 things.
Oh no!
And one of these things, swear to God,
I'm ready for
take
it.
Take me and crush me with your love.
Oh my God!
No shit! I'm not kidding. I heard that, and I was like, I don't know if I can play this anymore.
All your dreams.
Yeah, the other one is like, my clothes, where are my clothes? It's like, you poor. You know? I will be honest with you on one thing. The combat system, believe it or not, is deeper than God of War.
Yeah.
But it's not as good.
It's
one of those things where... It's got all these, like, really cool, like, visually, they're really cool combos, and, you know, you can pick up a big two-handed sword, or you can dual wield, or you can have a shield and a sword, and you can grapple, but with all of that, it's still just easier to just press buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives me nuts. It's like you have all these cool-ass combos, and it's still no better than just pressing buttons.
Yeah, that can be a problem. That's the problem I think Devil May Cry series has, is basically you have all these combos and stuff you can do, but really you can get through the game on like the base difficulty, just kind of, not mashing, but you know, memorize a few basic combos.
Yeah, a few basic combos. And I mean, that can be said about any action game, really.
It can.
I mean, that can be said about...
They gotta make it so that people like I can play it.
But all in all, I mean, it's still fun, but the game is barely average as far as the game itself is concerned. And the story is dumb, and the dialogue is horrible, and they cut corners. It's like you'll get attacked by lions, and think about a lion swiping at you with his claw, right? Now let's say you have like these 10 frames of animation, and they're labeled 1 through 10, and those 10 frames of animation are the swipe. Well, this swipes 3 times in a row, and when it gets to 10, it just goes back to 1 and does it again.
Oh god,
does that make sense?
Yeah,
it just
kind of
swipe, and you don't see the actual animation of him retracting his claw and coming at you again.
Yeah, it just resets the animation.
Exactly. And I saw that and I'm like, good God, could you cut corners anymore?
Then
the other thing that really got me is like their puzzles are just there because they wanted them to be there. It's like they don't make any sense. There was like this one part where you had to climb a wall to get across to a door. And I was like, oh, well, there's places here where I can climb and there's a door over there. So I climb up on the first ledge, and, you know, it's kind of platformy, where you have to jump from one ledge to the left, and you keep jumping on ledge to ledge. Mm-hmm. So I try to jump to the ledge to the left, and all of a sudden I see, like, a splash, and I fall to my death. And I'm like, what? Come to find out, there's, like, a lever I have to pull on the other side of the room that does nothing but make water fall from these pipes that are above them.
Of course.
And after that, then I can go across the wall. It's just dumb.
That is pretty stupid.
Anyway, I'm going to stop boring you with Conan. That was I wanted to vent a little bit about those three things, and now I'm
No problem.
So PSP, played Crisis Core.
Overall,
I like it, but like you said, it's very random. There was, I did several of the side missions, and I probably went through, 4 of them and didn't level up at all. And then I went through another one right after that and leveled up 3 times in that one mission.
Even leveling's random. It's
I literally leveled twice in one battle.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. And weird, yeah. No, that's the thing.
And like you said with the summons, I actually ended up summoning Ifrit twice in one battle too. And I'm like,
really?
No, I don't get it. And, you know, I was playing a little bit before we started recording, and I was doing one of the side missions, and I got to this guy who has this, tomahawk boomerang attack. And, you know, I was doing pretty good holding my own against him, and it's considered a quote-unquote very hard side mission. And, you know, I had to heal a few times, and he reaches back and throws his tomahawk, and it does, 1,200 damage and kills me in one hit. And I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell is that about?
That's another thing I wanted to mention, because it's easy, and I think I've only died once the entire time, and it usually comes down to a ridiculous attack like that, or that stupid DMV thing that comes up, pauses the action, does its thing, because sometimes it'll do it, and won't do anything.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so what happens, it comes back, I'm like, crap, what's happening again? And then I realize I only have 100 hit points left, and then I get smacked, and I die. And I was like, if it didn't do that, it's the thing, is like, the game is so, I don't want to say broken, it just has so many... I think what happened was Square wanted to implement way too much factors and features into this game, but couldn't do it, or they figured, how can we do this on a portable, compact into a portable game and have it kind of make sense, and it just didn't turn out making sense. It just kind of was like, okay, we want to throw all this in here, but how are we going to have the user do that? It's a portable game, should be easy. I'll just make it random. That'll be fine. But the thing is that that kind of offsets what they did right about the game, is having everything so portable. Like, if it was a console game, I probably wouldn't play it. But it's just perfect for the PSP. That's why it's got that addictive factor. And if it wasn't for that, I would probably... Like, it's not it would be the hardest game if I were to, like, review it, would be the hardest game to review, because I really wouldn't know what to give it, because it's technically, like, broken in a lot of ways, and just kind of not, things aren't done right, but it's very addictive.
Yeah. It's fan service anyway. I mean,
oh, it's
basically
service.
The only reason they put it out is because everybody likes Final Fantasy VII so much. Oh, and they're like, exactly. Oh, we need to do something else with Final Fantasy VII, so here's a PSP game.
Yeah. And I do like the characters. The characters are pretty cool so far. I really like Zack's turning. He starts off kind of like whiny and annoying, but now he's getting kind of cool, and Genesis and Angeal are pretty awesome, and it's getting pretty
Angeal
good.
Angeal is pretty cool. I haven't gotten to the point. Zack is still whiny and bitchy to me right now, so.
But well, I mean, he is the guy who was, like, in charge of Cloud, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. But he matures a little bit more, so.
Well, it's yeah, still, but I mean, there would have to be some resemblance to the whininess that is Cloud, so.
For sure. But there's always whine. Anything with Square, there's going to be some whininess in it somewhere. I mean, even Final Fantasy XII, that's more kind of mature. Vaughn is
very emo.
Yeah.
He bugs the crap out of me. I try to use him as little as possible.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure you've read this already. It's not really a spoiler, but there's a close to the beginning of the game, you're going to see a kind of like a flashback, a fight between Genesis, Angeal, and Sephiroth. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. But the only other thing I wanted to mention was that you said something about the DWM coming up and, you know, it does its thing and then doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Why? That happened to me once, like, I think it was today, actually, where I got, like, it pulls it up in the window when you get one on each side, right? So I got Sephiroth on both sides, and when that happened, it triggered a cutscene,
yeah,
like a memory scene, and I went through the memory scene, and then the DWM didn't do anything. So
yeah,
like, I got the memory scene and then went right back to fighting. It's like, well, that was pointless. Why did you do that?
I don't know.
So, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Let's see. Final Fantasy XII, we talked about. So I'm not going to go into any more about that. As I said, I was just grinding a whole lot and
such a good game.
My augments.
You can get that at Blockbuster here for $7. They're selling it for $6.99. They're selling it for brand new $6.99 at a Blockbuster near my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went into EB during the week and or over the weekend, or I don't remember when it was. I think it was
Tuesday.
And they had it on the wall for like $18. And I was like, you know what? I bought this for $60 when it first came out, and I just started playing it. I really feel dumb.
Yeah, me too. Oh, and just if anyone wants, anyone listening even, if anyone wants Persona 3, they still have it brand new with EB across the street from me.
Well, they're about to release Persona 3 Fez.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah.
So. But it's just kind of weird. You can't find it anywhere, but this new store, EB, they always have it there new for some reason. I almost want to just buy their entire stock and then quickly sell them.
Let's see. I also finally started playing some Dragon Sword. I haven't gotten too far in it, but so far it's pretty good. It's kind of weird playing on the DS, just because of the swiping. But you know, overall, it's well done. I mean, the game looks great for a DS game, and you know, for the control that I've found so far, it works well.
How's the difficulty?
Difficulty is it's easier than Ninja Gaiden. But it's not incredibly easy. I mean, it would be incredibly easy for someone like Necro, who plays Ninja Gaiden on very super hardest difficulty or something like that, and gets through it. Yeah, but you know, for me, who likes to play action games just for the story and for the action, you know, it's perfect for me. I heard that it gets really easy, and it could be that I just haven't gotten used to the controls yet, because I'm only like literally a half an hour into it. I got to the first boss. And the boss fights, the camera is a little different when it comes to the boss fights, so I'm still trying to get used to how that works. But yeah, so I'm gonna reserve judgment until next week after I play it a little bit more.
Cool.
But yeah, that's my week.
Good stuff.
So quite a bit. All right, well, that took up a lot of this time, so let's jump right into news.
And we'll make this quick. I didn't get too much news here. According to some NDP report, 72% of the U.S. citizens play games. Before everyone gets all happy and like, oh, that's huge, it was a 64% growth from last year. But half of those people play online, but 90% of those people are PC gamers. So this could be anyone who play, like, it could be like Minesweeper or like Solitaire. They might have just sent out something like, hey, do you play video games? And these count as video games. You know, that could kind of come into the equation.
Plus the guys who just casually play sports games.
Exactly. And, like, yeah, like, your mom who would just throw on, like, Solitaire, like I said, Minesweeper, just, you know.
Or one of the 10 million people out there that bought a Wii just for Wii Sports.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And 90% of people who game online are on consoles. So, yeah, either way, it's kind of it shows how much the industry is really growing. Sony's going to be discontinuing the 6-axis with recent news coming out that the DualShock 3 is going to be on sale next week, guys. So, actually this week, by the time you listen to it, you can probably pick it up tomorrow. So, with that, I guess there's no reason for them to be selling the 6-axis anymore, so they're getting rid of it. So, once they go through the retail chain, you can no longer get one. So, if you kind of had some weird fetish with 6-axis controllers, go and buy them now and before they're gone.
If you wanted the one that felt really cheap, go get it now.
Exactly.
Well, I did import a DualShock 3, and I told you guys about that a few weeks ago. And I will say this. The controller feels a lot better as far as, like, structurally.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like a solid controller like the DualShock 2, whereas the 6-axis feels cheap and flimsy.
Yeah, I can't wait to get one. I need my Rumble. sticking with Sony, the PS3 PSN store is going to get an overhaul. So for the next 2 weeks, don't expect any kind of updates, which is kind of good and bad. It's good because it's going to get its long-awaited overhaul, because I don't like the interface on the PSN at all. It's, for one, way too slow, and it's just kind of scattered. It's kind of hard to find things that you want here and there. Sad news is, store's not getting updated. That also means games aren't getting updated. But yeah, Warhawk was. See, this is where the kind of contradiction kind of lies. Well, no. Warhawk just came with a patch.
Games will still get updated. Just the store isn't going to get updated.
Okay, so
games won't get new content, but patches will come out if necessary.
I guess, yeah, okay, patches, I guess. But
that's what
but then again, Warhawk did add content with that patch.
True.
What I'm getting at is Rock Band, you can download for free now. Still Alive, that song for Portal, the end of Portal, the credits. You can download that for free on PSN or Xbox Live, but on PSN it's not available yet because they're not updating the store.
Yes,
so
sad,
I don't know. I still haven't used the Rock Band store in store. I'm not sure if you guys have tried that.
I have.
But have you tried that on the
PS3?
Yeah.
It's not anything really special. All it does is basically you go into the in-game store and you select what song you want, and it basically just brings you right to that page in the PlayStation Store.
Okay, so it's connected directly. So it's not like the 360 one, then. That's like a totally different store.
Right.
That's weird. Because I was kind of hoping that they had their own separate thing where you can just maybe, I was going to suggest maybe trying
have
that.
Have you done it on the 360?
I haven't downloaded the song yet, no. Oh, I've done the store thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically like, it's pretty cool. It doesn't directly to the 360 Blades or anything like that for Xbox Live.
Yeah, this goes directly to... just the store page, and it's possible that that's going to change after the overhaul goes out. But
yeah,
right now it was like I had to, it goes out to the store. I had to download it from the store, and then at when you say run in background, and it goes back to the in game store in Rock Band. But then,
maybe really it does do that on Xbox 3 then, because I didn't actually order a song, so I don't know. I just viewed the stuff in the actual store, so I could be wrong.
You actually bought something.
Yeah, I haven't actually bought something on it, no. So maybe it does the same thing. I'd have to check.
Yeah, I bought the Boston pack, so that's what happened with the Boston pack. But what really gets me is because, see, this is where the 360 is going to have a huge advantage, because 360, it probably downloads, and it's there.
Yeah, that's what it
does. For the PS3, it downloads, you have to exit the game and install it first, and then go back into the game so you can play it.
What's with that? Everything you download from PSN, you have to install, even if it's a trailer. I don't get it. Trailers have to.
But. Trailers don't install, but anything that relates to a game in some way has to be installed.
That can get annoying. But who knows, maybe this will change too. But either way, it's going to get an overhaul, so in about 2 weeks' time, I guess about a week and a half if you guys are listening to this.
I think the 17th is what they were saying.
Yeah, I think it is the 17th, so give it a shot. Give it a look, and hopefully things are work out for the best. More Sony news. The secret behind the PS3 installs. A lot of you know that a lot of PS3 games lately require a up to 5 gig install for some games. Devil May Cry 3, Hot Shots Golf 5, Lost the Game, just to name a few. Lost Planet, all need an install. Patrick Klepek from MTV basically went on a search and destroy mission to find out why they're doing this, because every developer is kind of saying something different. Some aren't saying anything. What it basically comes down to is it's not an actual problem with the speed of the Blu-ray disc itself. Basically, it's just the time or the Blu-ray drive reading the information. It's basically where it is on the disc can cause it to, cause the loading times to be longer. So that's why they do the install. So basically, they can just pull the information from the hard drive, which is all people tend to know this kind of stuff. But what people seem to argue is, well, games like Uncharted or Dark Sector or somewhat like other multi-platform games that don't require this install, which have great loading times, what's the deal with those? And basically it comes down to those developers have found clever ways to get around it without doing an install. Like basically Bethesda and Digital Extremes and stuff will duplicate the code on the Blu-ray disc itself so it can find the information faster. And that's how they get around it. So basically, it's something that's pretty well known, but I guess kind of just put it out there. This is why, don't worry, it's not because Blu-ray disc drives are that much slower or Blu-ray discs are harder to read. It's basically just, they're so big that the information can be all over the place, and it's just easier for them to do that. So, and I don't really have a problem with it. At first, I was kind of like, it's kind of annoying, but if a hard drive is mandatory, or not mandatory, but standard, go for it. If you want to do an install, if you want to duplicate the code, either way, the programmers have to do something to get around it, and as long as it means faster load times, I'm all for it. It doesn't really bother me. It
doesn't hurt that you can upgrade the hard drive in the PS3 with any laptop hard drive.
Exactly. So that's not really a problem. Well, exactly, but that's another good thing, is whereas 360, you don't have that issue at all, so that's kind of a good thing, where you don't have to install a 5-gig install on a 20-gig hard drive, so kind of... So either way, you win. And also with the installs, it actually lowers the load times a little bit faster than that on the 360. So kind of getting a little bit of an edge there. For some of the games, yeah. Where am I here? Rockstar is partnering up with Amazon. Have you heard about this, Chris?
I haven't.
It's pretty cool, actually. What happens is now in GTA 4, when it comes out in a couple weeks, woohoo. You can, if you're, playing a game and a song from the soundtrack comes on, you're like, I really like that song, I want to download it. You actually use the main character, you enter in a number, which I didn't write down, you can get it off, like, the Rockstar website or any website or anything. I think it's like ZIT555-7373 or something like that, into the cell phone in the game. What'll happen is it'll send you a text message to your cell phone in the game, and then it'll tell you the information on the song, and it'll give you, if you're part of this club called the Rockstar, Rockstar Social Club, which you can sign up on their website, it gives you a link. You can go to Amazon.com and download the songs from anywhere from 89 to 99 cents, DRM free.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of pretty cool. That's kind of a cool way to, because, of all the other GTA games, they usually release a soundtrack, which usually costs quite a bit of money, and let's face it, you don't want to hear all the songs on there, so now you can kind of custom build your own soundtrack, so to speak, if you actually want to do this. So I think that's kind of a good idea, and something that's never been done in games before, so yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I don't know if I'll use it exactly.
No DRM.
But, yeah. And that's awesome, too. No DRM is like a big thing. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. You pay for it, it's yours. It's the way it should always be.
That's right.
Two more things. We're almost done. Prototype is a game people are looking forward to. I personally was, and still kind of am. It kind of looks like a Crackdown Hulk kind of thing. It was originally planned to have co-op play. Co-op play is not happening. Developers saying it might come out as DLC later or in the possible sequel. So that's kind of a bummer, but hey, whatever. Oh, I got one more. You guys are big sports fans, right? Crystal, you like your sports?
No. I watch arena football.
You like, sorry, what do you say?
I said I watch arena football.
Arena football, okay. Well, Madden's pretty popular. Madden 09 is going to be coming out this August. And you know how much we all loved NFL Head Coach that came out the other year? That game that was basically a head coach sim.
Wait, who loved that game?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody. Actually, you know what? It sold pretty well, but I mean, really. It wasn't really a game. But anyway, you can get NFL Head Coach. 09 is going to be coming out, but the only way you can get it is for Madden in Madden 09 Special Edition, which will be coming out in August, and that's the only way you can get that game. So if you're one of the people who actually bought the first one or like looking at screens and screens of text for hours and hours a day when you're not at work, then that's how you'd get it. But for the rest of you out there, who gives a shit? Chris, I didn't hear you on the Who Gives a Shit.
What?
I didn't hear you on the Who Gives a Shit. I didn't seem too enthusiastic. That's showing you really don't give a shit. You didn't give so much shits, not even to say it.
There you go.
But that's that's it for news.
Wow, head coach inside Madden. I'm sure head a lot coach. Of people. I'm sure there's people out there that'll actually appreciate that.
Oh no, there will be. But I don't know if you guys like read anything about the first one. But it just got terrible reviews. Loading time is supposed to be retarded, and it's literally like text that you're reading and setting up plays or whatnot, and looking through playbooks. And they yawn fest, if you ask me. Like I said, and again, this is coming from Mister. I hate micromanagement, so obviously I'm not gonna like it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, cool. Well, why don't we take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about chicks as the lead role in games, and we'll do new releases and emails, which I don't even know if we have any emails, but I'll double check. And there we go. So we'll be right back. So stay with us.
You'll go out in style.
Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors, kind and caring souls such as, nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
Welcome back. You guys up for the rest of this show?
Well, I'm still here.
I think so.
Yeah, the fact that Crystal is actually still here is a miracle.
Well, besides, this next part is why I'm here, so...
Well, true, yeah. She actually made it through the first half of the show without falling asleep. That was pretty impressive.
Very surprising.
I got to stare at Nariko the whole time, so it's okay.
Oh, there we go. Well, we are talking about chicks in the lead role of video games. And we actually got a pretty good response from this one. I got, like, 5 or 6 emails, and we actually got a voicemail. We got a voicemail from Bitch Pig.
Yeah, so, Bitch Pig.
I figure we're going to start with that.
Yeah, it's not me this time.
So I figure we'll start with that, and we'll play that now.
All right. Hey, Batman. Bitch Pig here. I thought it was about time for me to get my mic groove on, say hello, and give Jason a breather from having to read my long-winded ass emails.
Or Chris a breather.
So go ahead, Jason. Take a breath. Yeah, I got this one. First off, let me say that I love the cast. There's a big surprise, shocker, I know, and I look forward to it every week. You guys definitely make it easy for an opinionated bastard like me to have a venue where I can totally geek out on good topics. So with that, I'll throw in my 2 cents on women in games. The man in me says one thing. Come on, fellas. Bring on the tattoos. If us guys didn't want women in games, then why would so many of us roll them in MMOs? Seriously, come on. But I digress. I think women in games is healthy. From the first onset of seeing Samus shed her helmet, games have mimicked the growing understanding in our society that strong women exist. It's a healthy message to send out, and regardless of how grossly underdressed they are, well, I can't complain too much about that. They still exude that strength and power to everyone they see. So the only thing I can say is, lead on, leading ladies. Keep making them, and I'll keep listening. The Sal. Peace.
Good voicemail. Thanks, Bitch Babe.
Ta-ta.
What are tatties?
Tatties.
Bring on the tatties.
Good stuff. Good voicemail.
Yeah, very good voicemail. And I think he brings up a good point. It's all about showing that women can be put into that strong position and do it well.
You do it better. I mean, the strong chick is a lot hotter than a strong guy.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I have no argument with that.
If I'm going to be falling around the backside of somebody in a third-person shooter or third-person adventure, I'd rather fall around a nice, nice bum than some manly dude with a shirt off.
Yeah, I don't find it very fun, with what the hell is his name from Gears of War?
Oh, Marcus Fenix?
Like, I don't want to stare at you the whole freaking time. Big overgrown gorilla oaf.
And he brought up Metroid, which is like...
Yeah, Samus.
That's probably where it all started with Samus, because before
that... That's definitely where it all started.
Yeah, like before that, women in video games, or females in games, but basically they were like the damsels in distress, you know, exactly. Like Zelda, the princess, whatnot. You're saving that kind of thing. And I remember Metroid, nobody knew. That was like the big twist at the end. She takes off her mask and, oh my god, I'm playing a girl! Does that mean I'm gay?
And
ever since then, people would rather play chicks in video games, like it seems. And like
although
you said,
there really aren't that many lead lady characters, surprisingly. Oh. Like, with the turnout, like, all I'm hearing is guys going, yeah, lead chicks, it's awesome, that's awesome. And then the video game makers still aren't, there still aren't that many, you know?
They're making more as we go, but
there's,
it's
definitely, no, go ahead.
There's definitely more men. I think that's what Jeff's about to say, too.
Well, I was going to say actually wasn't even close to what I was going to say, but
oh, okay, well.
you almost read my mind. I was going to say, I think the reason why I think that not too many developers have gone that route is because I think it's a lot harder to portray a woman in the lead and do it right than do it wrong. Because in a lot of games, you've just got this big burly dude who swears a lot and grunts, and okay, you're in a war shooting game, that makes sense. And a lot of things is, people, when they want a female lead in a game, not only do they want them to, you know, like, act and control really well, they want them to, like, look decent. You want it to kind of, not saying they have to be underdressed or anything, but you have to kind of put them in a realistic situation. What they would be wearing is realistic, and
well,
some games just
don't want to do that. There's a lot of that in a video game. It's realistic.
Well,
women's costumes.
It depends what you're talking
about.
Even Rika,
like, with her, you know, ridiculously long hair is not realistic.
No,
she
but then you look
so
at Laura Croft. Well, of course. But you take it like Laura Croft, who, besides the ridiculously huge boobs and proportionate body, she's wearing realistic stuff that someone would wear rock climbing, so to say. Like shorts, reasonable length, you know, like a t-shirt, basically, and, you know, holstered with guns, like that. It makes sense. But you throw, like, a female in an army game, like, if you have a female character in Gears of War, it's not going to really make that much of a difference because it's like, they're wearing so much armor, does it really matter whether the character's male or female in that situation?
Well, but you can throw a female character into a game like that, like Mass Effect. I mean, women in that were still really hot, despite being, like, in a war-type game where they're supposed to be soldiers. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And you could be a lead in Mass Effect as well, right? You could do it either way. And that kind of worked.
Yeah, but she really wasn't quite as attractive as the non-lead characters.
Well, depends how you
make
it look.
I've actually found with characters where you can adjust the facial features and all that other crap, they just don't end up looking as good as you expect them to be. Like Oblivion, you could make a female character and, you know, try to make... Yeah, there's no way to make a good-looking...
There's no good-looking person in that game, period, male or female.
Fair enough, that is true. You know,
but see, that's kind of a good thing in a way, because, I mean, having a somewhat unattractive character can be a good thing. Like, nobody cares that the lead character in Portal was not attractive.
I've never seen her.
Yeah,
well,
she's not.
You see her, but it's, you know, mostly...
I see her reflection.
Yeah.
Well,
all you're seeing is just her body from across the room.
I guess it's because she's not staring at her face the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
And you see the weird things on her legs. I never got that, but, you know.
But, I mean, Noriko is a perfect example. Like, that, she's hot.
Yes.
She's fun to play as. She's like, and that's the thing is, a lot of people automatically relate. They take female characters in games, they have to be fast and agile and whatnot.
Yeah,
and not too many games stray from that. Like, in fighting games, 80% of the time, I'm picking the female characters, I know they're going to be fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's also another reason why I like Dead or Alive so much, is because it's not so much the game itself, it's the fact that I know most of the characters in that game, because most of them are female, and yes, they happen to be, like, attractive, like, sprites, not sprites, but polygonal characters can be, but they're all really, really fast, and that's what I like.
Yeah, like, I know in Dynasty Warriors, when I was playing that, my favorite character was Nuwa, who was a Chinese goddess, and she was, like, lightning fast. She was easily the fastest character in the game. But it made it so much more fun to play, because she'd just zip across the screen, you know? And they do tend to make female characters faster.
Yeah.
Because they're small and compact.
Do you think that's... I think that is just as big as a stereotype as any of the ones that are laid on men in video games.
Oh, I agree.
That have to be, like, big and pearly. Like, I think the developers don't exactly limit when they do have a lead character, whether it's female or male, I don't think they hold back stereotypes when it's either one. Because it goes both ways.
See, that's one of the things that I like about Noriko is the fact that, yes, she is the typical fast character, but then you can switch to the
really super strong.
Right, and then she's really strong, but she's slower. So it gives you that versatility in the character itself.
You can make her whatever you want her to be.
And
the other thing I liked about her was that they didn't do the oversized chest that is so typical.
Make her the typical super sexy. You know, I mean, what did they do? They gave you a little peek at her ass, and you get some midriff, and that's it. But she doesn't have like the overly voluptuous boobs that most other female characters have.
Exactly.
And they gave her a nice darker skin tone too, which I really liked.
That's true. And they did, this is, I'm not sure if we're jumping ahead. I don't know if we have any kind of structure for this. Of course we don't have any structure for this feature.
What structure?
we always make it up as we go along. But I was going to say, I find, going to my God of War thing with Kratos, I find games that are very popular, like action games, men are the same thing, like scantily clad dress. Usually they're like topless or whatever, and like ripped all shit. That would take years and years and years of being in a gym for 8 hours a day. Oh yeah, but I find like those games and games like Heavenly Sword sell very well. But games where there's female lead character, not necessarily lead characters, maybe secondary, like say Alex from Half-Life, like Half-Life 2, who are more natural looking. Or either of you guys play Indigo Prophecy?
I didn't.
Because you can kind of say there was a female lead in that as well, and she wasn't, again, she wasn't like big-breasted and like curvy as hell. She was kind of normal looking. I find those games don't sell too well. Like games that basically have attractive lead characters, especially with females, seem to sell a lot more.
Oh,
same as with guys.
Guys are horny bastards.
That depends on the game, though, because I know Final Fantasy X-2 did not sell well at all, but they,
you had to change
Yuna
dresses.
Got, like, a boob lift, and she started wearing even less, and she's the lead character, and people still don't play it more, so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that was, it's hard to say, really, for that, and you would think it would sell well based on the name Final Fantasy, the fact that it's all chicks in the game. And,
yeah.
You know, the fact that they
went a little girl power on that, though.
That's true.
Yeah, that's
like, there were points where I was rolling my eyes because it was way too much.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say, so it's all you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember either.
Well,
all right, stuff. How about we read an email?
Let's read an email. All right. Well, this one's from Dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do the best I can because I suck at reading out loud, and I will stumble over myself, so I apologize ahead of time. So, Dizzy has to say, first of all, you guys need to be taught that the woman from Tomb Raider is Lara, L-A-R-A, not Laura. This made me want to slap Garnet from 1UP. Couldn't slap you guys, though. I love ya. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, bras and games. What's that?
Broads and games.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank God for not getting slapped. All right. So, broads and games. He rubs his hands together. What did he say? Rubs his hand. Next sentence will solve all of your problems. What games are we talking? Dishwashing, cooking, I'm just kidding. That's horribly sexist and does not accurately represent my views.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Dizzy, you just made an enemy in my fiancé, Crystal.
Yeah, my arch nemesis.
You made me such a closer friend.
Oh, my.
All right.
So,
okay, go on.
Why not? The question implies it's either controversial or wrong.
I forgot sandwich making, by the way. Sorry, go ahead.
Don't interrupt me. It's hard enough for me to do this crap. Okay, I'll start over. Why not? The question implies it's either controversial or wrong for a video game to have a female lead. I think that a story has been written beforehand to be based around a female character, then there's no problem. I guess it had to be it would have to be an intelligent story, though. Not just a sexy character to draw on the lads, like DOA, that has American Pie 6 levels of objectification. I honestly don't care whether I play as a woman or a man, like Chuck's mom.
Nice.
As long as the game is good, I'll buy it. And I don't even think the childish attitude of, ew, I don't want to play as a girl, exists anymore. Speaking of shows I love yours. It's sufficiently awesome for me not to unsubscribe. Really love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Love always, Diz. Thank you,
Diz. I gotta say something right from the beginning is, I don't like, again, it's the DOA thing. DOA Extreme Volleyball and those games, yes, they're very, they kind of objectify women, like basically that kind of thing. That's what they're there to look at.
Really?
Whatever. Yeah, definitely. The fighting games are not. The fighting games are, yes, they're in there, they have the bouncy boots like that, but the game is actually a good game, and Itagaki cares a lot for those characters, which is, that's what surprised me, why he let the DOA movie even happen. But he did not portray it in the game, so in the actual gameplay itself, as like being like, you know, look at these pieces of meat. Even though a lot of people look at it that way, but they're, it's
just... That's just because of the genre, though. Like, people automatically go into it after they're already playing the DOA games. They're like, okay, this is just another... Let's look at chicks game.
Yeah.
And you can't really single out DOA either. And I'll be the first to say that I am not a fan of DOA at all. And it has nothing to do with the characters or whatever. It's just the fact that, you know, I personally do not like the gameplay. But you can't single out DOA on that particular in that particular context, because Soul Calibur does it. Look at Taki.
Yeah.
Taki's got big ass boobies that bounce everywhere.
Or look at Mai from what's it called?
Guilty
is
Gear?
Her name Mai? Yeah,
no.
Mai from, oh, not Guilty Gear, that Neo Geo.
Oh, yeah, King of Fighters.
Yeah, King of Fighters.
Yeah.
Like, she was like the first girl to have animated boobs on like a fighting game, and I was like, oh my god, her boobs are moving, they're like real.
Yeah, and
even games that are better about it, like Tekken, still have the big boobs for most of the characters. I mean, obviously, Julia doesn't, which is possibly why she's my favorite character to play in that game, but most of them do have still the big boobs. Yeah. So...
And Mai in King of Fighters is an interesting topic, because she has the bouncy boobs and she's got a bouncy butt. Most people don't see it, but I was one of the guys I worked with at the video game store was a huge into King of Fighters, and he's like, "Watch this! She's got frames of animation on her ass when she does a sweep kick," and I'm like, "You're sick, dude."
Yeah, you should be putting that animation on like the fat dudes in like fighting games. Like, watch the flap around, like the Honda. He used to, like, smack you with animations of his, like, stomach.
That'd be awesome. Nobody would
play
those.
Let's be realistic. I mean, games were primarily, like, they were targeted towards males, basically. This, I'm talking, like, back in the day. So, of course, when there's a female character, everyone's going to go, oh, this is, like, either really good or really bad. And I'm bringing back Bitch Pig's voicemail. I meant to say something on there too, but he mentioned MMOs, so everyone rolls a female character in them. And what's funny is everyone knows this, but when you go onto an MMO and you see a female character, you're going to see a lot of dudes around that character acting like they're trying to pick them up at a bar.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And
you
realize
this is another guy. 90% of the time, this is another guy you're trying to pick up.
And then, back in the PSO days on Dreamcast, or as it is for Xbox, I played two characters, Ranger and a Hunter. Both were male. And then after a while, I got tired of it. So I'm like, I'm gonna be another Hunter, but I'm gonna have it a female. And first of all, for one, this happens in real life too. Some girls, man, get it easy. Like, there's like, I walked in, I'm like level one, whatever you start out at, and I have people giving me shit. Like, give me a free shot. Like, I want to play, get it on my own. They're all like, oh, no, here, take this, whatever, here, accept my friend invite, I'll do all this kind of stuff. And then I'll be like, dude, I'm a dude. And they'll be like, fag. Like, what?
You're the one giving me stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I never once said, like, okay, I'm a female character. That's what's the funny thing is, like, everyone knows that dudes will like to play a girl just because it's something different. I'm not sure if it's some kind of, like, in the back of your mind, subconscious crap, Freudian bullshit, or whatever, that guys are curious about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but you'd rather
look at a chick than a guy.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I'll be honest, in all of the like MMOs and stuff, if I make a female character, there's a reason that I'm making a female character. Like, in PSO, for instance, all the characters that I made for PSO were male.
Mm-hmm.
WoW, when I played WoW, all my characters were male. When I played PSU, most of my characters were male. I had a female Newman that was a force, because females are generally better as a force in that game. And then I had a female beast hunter because my favorite weapon that I wanted to get was the dual claws. And for some odd reason, if you're a male with dual claws, you get a 5-hit combo. If you're a female, you get a 6-hit combo.
Because they're faster.
Yeah, well, that might be just it. But, I mean, so usually in those types of games, I actually play a male character, but it has to be there has to be a reason for me to play a female character.
Yeah.
I don't think most guys are that way. I think they do. Because especially with how many hours you put into playing online games, yeah, they're not going to want to stare at some guy's back the entire time.
No, for sure. And we kind of... No, go ahead.
I was just going to move on to something else, but...
Yeah, I was just going to say we totally disregarded Dizzy's email and went back to bitch pics.
Yeah, actually, that's like, what was Dizzy?
Okay, go for it.
Well, no, Dizzy was just mentioning that he wants a good story, and it doesn't matter if it's a female or not. And
no, it doesn't.
But he was, like, talking about it's either controversial or whatever, and I think that the reason we're bringing it up is not because it's controversial, it's because it's rare.
Yeah, it's rare, and it's something that I think a lot of people want to see more of.
I know.
But if it's done right. Like done Crystal right. said, she said that Final Fantasy X-2 was basically, it's all girls, they're attractive
well,
to look at, but at the same
it.
Time, well, most of it. And but the problem was it was very much girl power. If they can
Not all of it is girl power. If you can get past
No.
The very
That's what I'm saying, but...
It's actually a really good game.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But my point is that a lot of developers will... They might think that's what people... They might try to cater that to because it's got a female character. It has to appeal to a female audience, so we have to immediately relate to females in there. And I'm thinking that's not the case. Just make that character be who that character is written for. Don't make them overly girly. Don't make them wear pink all the time. Have them dress normally. Have whatever portions you want. But if you can do that right and put them in the storyline well, if it's written for them, then I think that's what gamers want. I think
If you have more female, I mean, a lot of people have are controversial about this, but if you have more female lead characters, you will probably get more female gamers.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
I mean, a lot of girls are like, oh, I don't care, but those are the ones that are already playing games. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously they don't care, but you will get more interest from females if you put in more female lead characters that are good characters.
Yeah. With Tanya, almost every game I play, when we play multiplayer or anything, her first question is, can you be a girl? And if I say yes, automatically her interest goes right up. And it's like, that's funny, because girls are always like that. They're like that in real life. Like, girls have no problem being like, hey, that girl's hot, this girl's hot. But it's rare you're going to see a dude be like, yeah, that dude is kind of a, you know, if I was a girl, I'd do him. You
know, like, guys think it's attractive for girls to think that other girls are attractive. But girls don't think it's that attractive for guys to find other guys attractive.
And do you guys think in gaming, like girls say, like, if there's no girl, I don't want to play it, but guys aren't necessarily going to sit there and be like, I'm not going to play this game because I'm not playing a dude. Like, no. Like, guys will willingly play a female character.
Well, here's a question that I want to pose, and I already know the answer from each of you, I think. Well, actually, before I say this, Jeff, have you introduced Tanya to Heavenly Sword at all?
She's watched me play it.
Okay.
And a little
she has,
bit.
But she has no interest in playing it?
The reason she didn't mind watching this, she liked watching me play, like, certain parts for whatnot. Her thing is kind of, maybe she'll listen to this podcast, maybe Crystal can kind of, like, get across, because what she's afraid of is basically the complexity of it. Because
That's what I was thinking as soon as you said that she likes to watch it, but was kind of leery. Because it does look really intimidating. Like, for people who aren't hardcore gamers, it looks very intimidating. But it's not bad at all. If you have persistence.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing is, she's a lot like me in ways, like, our patience level. Like, if she starts playing it and if she doesn't get it in, like, 5 minutes, she'll just get too frustrated. But with, like, little simple games, she picks them up ridiculously fast. Like, Mario Kart, like,
well,
I mean, like, she's beating me at it. And
I'll tell you, it took me a long time to get through it because of that, because I'm the same way. Like, if I start doing really badly, I get mad and I put it away. I'm like, I don't want to play anymore, I'm done. And then I pick it back up a couple of weeks later when my temper has gone down. But, I mean,
like
it took a while,
boyfriend?
But it's worth it in the end.
Abusive boyfriend syndrome? Never heard about that? Like, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, here's the question I wanted to pose. Jeff, if Heavenly Sword was a male lead, would you have played it?
Honestly?
Yeah.
No, because I didn't play Conan, and that's kind of like the same style of game, and I have no interest in playing Conan.
Oh, don't diss Heavenly Sword like that. Heavenly Sword is a much better game than Conan.
No, no, no. I'm not comparing the two, but what I'm saying is, like, I have my God of War, which is the base, like, okay, I'm not going to compare it directly, but they are similar in style and like, the way it plays out. But the reason why Heavenly Sword intrigued me more was because it was a female character. It looked like, again, it was done right with the same kind of gameplay. If that was a dude character, I would be like, I can just play God of War.
Yeah.
Well, I would have, so.
Mm-hmm.
I would not.
I know Crystal would not have.
No way.
Jeff, I actually expected you to say yes.
No, I could say, like, she was one of the major, like, I can't say, like, it's impossible to say whether I would or would have, like, straight up, but she was definitely one of the, like, one of the interests I had in the game. And not just because she saw it, because I was like, it's kind of different. I was like, it's kind of cool. And it's sexy to see a girl sling around these blades and fuck people up.
Yes.
All right, cool.
And her retarded little sister was kind of cute, too.
Kai was awesome.
Yeah.
I enjoyed playing as Kai very much, so.
I enjoyed playing as Kai. As much as I love Noriko, I enjoyed playing as Kai a whole lot more. Because it was a lot more, like, my style of fighting, I guess. Because with Noriko, I was always worried about, like, combinations and stuff. But with Kai, it was just like, all I have to do is hold the controller and aim it. I think I can manage this.
So, moral of the story is, Tanya, give Heavenly Sword a shot.
Yeah, do. You won't regret it. It's nice to see the very strong female lead character, if nothing else.
Especially considering she doesn't have huge boobies.
Yes.
No, she's not.
Moderately proportioned, very strong female lead character. There we go.
All right, so you guys want another email?
Sure.
All
right, this one's from Ravenblade. What do I think of female lead characters in games? Well, simply put, I have no problem with them as long as the character you're playing isn't some totally dumb blonde with big tits and wearing the most revealing outfit the developer could come up with.
Yeah, nobody wants that as a lead.
Mind you, I have nothing against a female character being hot. Don't make her as thick as two planks as well. Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Women in real life aren't thick. Well, some are, but there are plenty off guys who...
He's not seen Chuck's mom? Sorry. He did say thick, right?
I think he used off when he meant to use of. But there are plenty of guys who have less than two brain cells as well. So why shouldn't they be thick in games as well? If the story of the game can all the... What?
By thick, you mean dumb.
I know that. If the story of the game can all though for a female lead, then there's no reason why it shouldn't be. That sentence doesn't make any sense.
I think it means account. Account for a female lead. Something like that.
I don't know. I might cut that entire sentence out. Just not use it. But also, there is no particular reason it shouldn't be a male character. You know, equal rights and all that crap.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that last sentence was supposed to mean, but there you go.
Well, basically, it sounds like it's the trend that we've all said is no one minds a female character if they're put in the right position. Sorry, that can go a couple ways, but if they're put in the right, a little bit. If they're put in like the right situations with the right storyline with the right characters, then there's no difference
they're
between having
well.
A male lead character. Yeah. Like, exactly, no one wants the ridiculous dumb blonde, big tits,
right?
You know, and that's
at least not as a lead character.
It seems to be something that we're seeing a lot of is everybody that's writing in is saying, hey, you know, we like them as long as they're not fucking idiots, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was an evolution. I think that's basically been like before Samus, you never even saw her body, and then you saw basically a couple of pixels of hair on a face, and then people kind of like were a bit of an uproar. Then girls started coming in, they kind of make them the big boobs and big butt and whatever, not necessarily big butt, but nice butt. And then now it's kind of people are kind of like, you know what, we don't need any of that stuff. It's like that was fun while it lasted. Now we can just kind of go with normal looking women.
But I think there is still a degree of love for like the less intelligent, not necessarily like dumb as a stick, but like less intelligent, like ditzy cute, because I know Riku is probably like one of the most favorite Final Fantasy girls ever. Everybody loves
super Riku. Ditzy cute,
and she is definitely not the brightest tool in the shed. So
And what's the thing?
It's not just like it's not necessarily a ditzy thing, but if they are like naive to the point of being cute, I guess that's what I'm kind of, and that's kind of the way I think of Kai from Heavenly Sword, and actually the same with Yuffie from Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm. See, Yuffie's just hyper.
Yeah, she's hyper, and she's just kind of out there. She's weird.
Yeah. So. But I wouldn't call her dumb. She's
well, no, she's not dumb, but she seems like a little naive sometimes.
Well,
and I think it's probably just because she's a young character, like she's like preteen or whatever.
Well, so is Riku. She's pretty young. Like, wasn't she 15, 16 in the first game?
I don't know. All the Final Fantasy characters are teenagers.
Not all of them, but yeah, most of them.
Most of them outside of 12 are outside of Final Fantasy 12 are teenagers.
Yeah, pretty young.
Yeah. Although, actually, like I said, Lulu was older.
What's that? Yeah,
Lulu
was
older.
That's true.
She was in her 20s, I think.
There's actually one female character that we have not mentioned yet
that
isn't really a lead role, but plays a major role as a support cast to a male role.
Alex? Elaine? No, what the hell is her name?
Was it Elena?
Elena from Uncharted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a very average-looking woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could really... And that's one of the things that I liked about Uncharted so much, because you could really get... You really understood the characters, and, you know, they you could tell that they were just normal. And, you know, the same goes for Elena, too. She was a normal human being. You know, she wasn't this crazy hero chick. She was just... Yeah, you know, she's
kind of annoying, though.
Yeah,
did you think?
She annoyed me, but I think it was a realistic annoying. Like, it's just because she was a fully balanced character that, like, she had negative traits. So you were like, ugh, negative traits. This is a video game; they're not supposed to have negative traits.
But the same can be said for what's his face as well.
Nathan.
Yeah, because I mean, he was kind of like I was going to mention this. We were talking before is people. I think we got used to the whole same thing. Like I said, this whole thing we're doing now with female lead characters, we do the same thing with males in terms of stereotype and how they portray them in video games. But now it's kind of like people are kind of just saying being normal is okay. It's like Nathan Drake and like Elena or Alex and dude from Half-Life 2. Why can I not think of his name? This is ridiculous. Someone's gonna flame me for it. The hell's the guy's name in Half-Life 2?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know. I haven't played enough of Half-Life 2 to know, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Well, but if there's only a degree of normalcy you can take. Like, in some games, if you had a completely normal guy character, it would be so out of place.
Oh, yeah. They have to be normal, but with something that stands out. Like, Nathan Drake, he's got a good, like, he's funny, and he's witty and sarcastic. Yeah, they have to have, like, an interesting... normal character, if that makes any sense at all.
Well, no, I was talking more like Final Fantasy XII, for instance. If you had, like, average Joe in Final Fantasy XII, nobody would care about him at all. He wouldn't be cool.
Oh, of course.
He would just be like, oh, this guy's boring. Why didn't they leave him out of the game?
Yeah, you know? Well, that's Final Fantasy. The dude doesn't look like a girl. Everyone's going to be like, something's wrong.
If he's not...
Well, I don't know. Everybody loved Auron.
Oh, but okay, but then look at Parasite Eve. Like, that had kind of normal-looking characters, but the setting is normal. So, like, if in Final Fantasy XII, you can't put normal-looking people in
Like, in certain settings and certain games, you just can't have a normal character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that one. Parasite Eve has a female role.
Lead character,
as well. Yeah, and that was that was a very well-received game, too.
Oh, very much, yeah. But she was pretty hot and kind of disproportionate as well.
And also a badass. So
yeah, badass.
Shall we do another email?
Three emails?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Trying to
do
get
another.
Through these. If I can get through the pain of reading these out loud, I'll be better. this one I think Crystal's going to have a field day with.
Uh-oh.
All right. So this is from Tears of Ash.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I like women in my games, but sometimes they try too hard. I mean, come on, nobody likes a slut. Unless you're a desperate dude with no real ladies to ride your lap, like Princess Peach in Luigi's Circuit. Let's be honest, we all like eye candy, and I love looking at cute girls on the screen, but as far as lead roles, I don't mind the female lead characters, but sometimes I wish they were simply written better. Take Final Fantasy X2 or The Witcher, for example. See? Then look at the Xenosaga series, Heavenly Sword, or Star Ocean Second Story. Some of these games, the female characters are written almost as shallow as teeny boppers. Rumor has it, women are people too. It would be nice if devs depicted them realistically in their works. Tears of Ash, a.k.a. number one Hannah Montana fan.
That event right there discredits everything he just said. Oh my god. Has he played Final Fantasy X-2? Because I'm getting the impression that he went and said, looked at it and was like, oh, it's Riku and Yuna as three female lead characters. They all suck. I mean, because Pain was an awesome, awesome character if you made it through the game. She was awesome. She was very well thought out. She was very well planned out. She was badass, and you didn't hate her. You know, and she was not girly at all. The only truly girly character in Final Fantasy X-2 was Riku, and Yuna to a degree, but she was only more girly than she was in Final Fantasy X, so I was disappointed by that. She wasn't like, oh my god, super girly, I wear pink and frilly lace, you know?
Yeah.
And she had character. I mean, I agree that her character in Final Fantasy X-2 went down a lot as far as, like, being realistic and having respect points, but she still had a fairly solid character, so I don't see that at all.
Well, it's quite possible that he didn't get it all the way through, because as you said at the beginning, it's very girl power-ish.
Yeah, it's hard to get through the beginning with the yay and happy flowers and stuff.
God.
But after you get past that part, it's actually a lot better.
Crystal, I'll make you a deal.
What?
I'll beat Rogue Galaxy for you if you can get me to the good part of Final Fantasy X2.
You're pretty much already there. Did you get past the initial FMV?
No.
That's the worst. See, the initial FMV area is pretty much the worst part, and there's every once in a while you get a little bit more, but after that, it's ignorable girly stuff that pops up every once in a while. And most of it is Riku.
Well, we seem to have a running theme, though. I mean, everyone is like, yeah, it's cool to have a female lead as long as they're written well and as long as the story's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, and developers are getting the hang of that, too. I think they're kind of getting into it. Because, I mean,
well, obviously,
Tomb Raider was the obviously.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that they're getting the idea that, like, we want characters that have character and that are not necessarily just eye candy, so.
And I think a lot of people, developers, after Lara Croft came on the scene.
Nice.
after she came on the scene, I think a lot of us were like, oh man, we need like a female character in this game because, like, you know, Tomb Raider sold amazing. And, you know, she's, you know, has big boobs and whatever, but they didn't get the whole point of, well, she was a realistic female character that was just happened to have big boobs. And I think they were kind of strayed away from that for a while, trying to be that, trying to get this popular. And then now they're thinking, like, oh, okay, we're starting to get the hang of it now. And I'm going back again to Final Fantasy, but, like, Fran in Final Fantasy? Is it Fran?
She's
Yeah.
Fran,
yeah, she's
the rabbit hair.
The rabbity girl. She's not human, but she is female, as far as we can tell. She's got boobs.
She's human with rabbit ears. I mean,
exactly. And she's like pretty big. She's pretty down to earth, pretty badass. Like, she's the weapons expert in the party and stuff. And
she's very cool, yeah.
But then again, she is wearing next to nothing and stuff, so I kind of just shot my own argument in the foot. But
well,
hey.
One of the things that I really like about her character is her voice.
Yes.
It's
I
one
love
of those
accents.
Things, yeah, and it's something that I don't think they do enough of, and it's something that Crystal mentions to me whenever she hears it. Like in Mass Effect. Whenever Tally would show up, she would like have this glee moment because she just loved the way that she talked, because it's they're giving a personality to the character that, you know, that most people
It wasn't just that. It was also, she's an alien race, and it makes sense that she would have an accent because when she's speaking English, because she doesn't usually speak English. And we know from just dealing with people who are from Earth who don't speak English that they almost always have an accent when they do. So it makes sense that an alien would. It's just something you see so rarely.
And Fran has an accent as well, and that's, you know, I think that helps in her character development, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially because she's also from another species, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Cool.
But I'm hoping that they continue this trend, because there's a lot of games coming out. Well, there's not a lot of games, but there's some games coming out that have female leads, like Wet, for instance. That's coming out this year, and it's a chick that she carries around guns and a katana at the same time, and you know, which is right up my alley personally. But, you know, from the videos and stuff that I've seen, I mean, all I've seen is FMV. There's no, like, gameplay footage out there. But, you know, if they can get the concept of that, you know, it looks like it could be really fun.
Mm-hmm. But is that the one also that she's ridiculously underdressed, though?
I don't think she was ridiculously
underdressed. She was in a bathtub.
There was a scene with her in a bathtub.
Okay. But that's another example of what you were talking about earlier, where you asked me if the game did not have a female lead character when I'd play it. That game interests me solely because it has a strong-looking female lead character. Because it's not the sort of game I would usually be interested in at all.
And there was the other one that I showed you, too, that the name of this game slips my mind.
The ninja one?
Yeah, but it's got, like, this ninja chick who's, it's a first-person action-adventure game. And it's got an Asian-looking chick with her face is painted, and I can't remember what it is. And I'm sure that someone is going to end up, you know, posting about what it is and stuff. But, you know, I mean, it looked really cool from, like, just the concept alone. You know, it looks like it could work.
Yeah, but anything first person in my mind, though, unless they really write the story well, it really doesn't make a difference whether it's a female or male character. Because if you're not looking at the character, it really doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
Very true.
Because you're not going to be seeing the character anyways.
No, and unless she has a lot of dialogue, and if the cutscenes aren't in first person, then it kind of makes sense. But if it's the whole thing's like Half-Life style, where it's all first person, then it just really doesn't matter at that point. It could be anyway. It could be a freaking squirrel. And, well, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That would be awesome. A squirrel.
But a female squirrel.
But it's still a step, though,
that squirrel?
At least they're thinking about including more female lead spots, you know what I mean? Yeah. Even if you're not going to see her, at least it's getting out there.
And I think you guys make a very good point when you say that, you know, that I think that having strong female leads in games would attract more female gamers.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yes.
I mean, how many girls do you know that play Gears of War? You know,
I've met like maybe two online in the games been out for like 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that's really the going trend. I mean, there's not many women out there that would play that kind of game. How many women?
Unless they're already gamers.
True.
I've met a lot of girls playing Halo.
Well,
lots.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hardcore girl gamers out there, but they're not.
You'll attract a lot.
You're not going to get any new female gamers with those games, basically.
Right, exactly.
That aren't already into video games. That's for sure.
Okay, I got one more email from Ricky.
Mm-hmm. Rick A.
And he says, chicks in video games. I think that it would be nice to see chicks in video games more often. And for me, they don't have to be in skimpy outfit or anything. As long as they are strong and kick-ass, to me it's appealing. It's a very going trend for us right now, huh? This is why I tend to play more females in MMOs than males. And I think that my favorite chick in a video game is Samus, because she looks so pretty and delicate, and then she takes out all these monsters. She's awesome, and that's his email. So
nice,
and to go back to what you said, that's where it started. You know, I think that's really where it started because you know, Nintendo took. I think they took a. You know, you could say they took a chance with making this character a female character.
They
did, because
you
could get to the end of the game, find out it's a female, and be like, oh my god, I'm never playing this again. And then what happens to all the sequels? You know?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
But all of the games in the franchise have been, you know, relatively successful.
Yeah, but at the same time, that goes with my point of you can take any Metroid game and make the lead character male, and it wouldn't make a difference because they barely ever talk. And like, it's all the Prime games are first person, and all the other ones are side scrolling in a suit. It like the suit doesn't even like portray a female's body in any way, shape, or form, unless the breastplate might be slightly curved. But other than that, you cannot. It wouldn't make a difference. So I think Nintendo started it, but in terms of that, they haven't improved it whatsoever with what they did with Metroid. Like they haven't. Like Metroid, I would never call that like a pinnacle of, oh, this is a good game. Like it's a great game. Yeah, sorry, but it's not a game where someone said, I want to play a game with a female lead character that's good. Oh, I would never, ever, ever suggest that because I don't think.
It's I'm not gonna go like. Care. Play the game this weekend because you guys told me it has a lead character, a female lead character, even though that appeals to me.
Exactly. And like, but Chris, like you asked...
Like, Metroid Prime, the Metroid Prime series, even though it is first person, they do give you that... They do let you know on a regular basis that is a female, because whenever there's like a large explosion or something, you see the reflection of her face in the glass of the visor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
But it's not a big deal.
Right.
No,
it's not
it
a
could
deal,
be,
but it's kind of cool.
You could put your face in there, Chris, and I don't think it would make anyone want to not play the game or play the game more.
No, I'm pretty sure
people
wouldn't. I'm pretty sure that people wouldn't play the game if it was my face in there.
Yeah, like that wouldn't make a difference to me whether or not it was me. Like you asked the question if Heavenly Sword, if it was a male character, would I have played it? And in terms of that, I said no, but that's because of the genre of the game. I already have the Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, God of War that are all male characters. This is the same kind of game. With female, cool, I'm interested, let's do it. But if like a female character in, this, say, a game, a genre that isn't so saturated with male characters, which I guess is hardly any, then it wouldn't really make a difference to me. I'd be like, I could be male or female.
Well, but that's why it's so appealing, is because it's so rare.
Right.
Like, no, exactly, that's what I'm saying, yeah, because it's... Like, I'm saying because it's those genres, the games that I play in that genre are oversaturated with male characters that, to me, it would just be like another action game with another male character.
Yeah.
And but because it had Noriko, I was like, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And he mentions the MMOs again, too, and I think it's, you know, we've touched on it several times, but, you know, it's worth pointing out that most guys, it's probably just the situation that they would rather see a female ass running. That's what it is. You know, I'd rather stare at that ass than some...
There's actually an interesting turnabout on that with online forums that have avatars. Because I know on Gaia Online, almost all of the guys are actually girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because they can dress them up in skimpy outfits.
Well, when I played the beta for
no,
Final
it's
Fantasy...
No, it's
because
they want to play at Yaoi, actually.
What?
It's because they want to pretend Fantasy. To be guys that like guys.
Oh,
Gaia is one of those places.
Yeah. Alright.
Anyway, next.
Crazy anime fangirl. Yay.
When I was playing the Final Fantasy XI beta on 360 a couple years back, I played quite a bit. I put in probably about 40 hours, considering that I realized that was a waste of 40 hours of my life because I went up like maybe 5 levels. And this is way too... taking way too long, but I teamed up with a regular party of us. There's probably like 4 or 5 of us that would play in the beta, and there's one person's character we met who was one of the big burly dudes, and then we're like, we need this person because they're like 5 levels higher than us. We need help raiding some dungeons, so we're like, hey, can you help us out? They're like, yeah, no problem. So they're like kicking ass or whatever, and then one day I went on there, and because it was all keyboard, we're typing to each other because it doesn't have voice chat, and because there's only me and this other dude playing, I'm like, hey, do you have a mic? Why don't we just use the chat function so we can chat to each other so we don't have to type for each other? They're like, okay. And then we start chatting, and it was a girl. And I had no idea. I was like, cool. I was like, that's kind of cool.
Imagine,
but
like putting that girl's voice to that like very masculine character.
Oh,
like...
it was weird. I'm like, that's weird. And like, she's like, yeah. She's like, actually, my husband has another character, and it's like a girl. And I was like, that's kind of weird. So it's just funny how no matter what, if you see a male or female character online, we automatically assume whatever gender they're playing, that's what they are in real life.
I really need to find that. I really need to find that clip from How I Met Your Mother that I was talking about a few episodes back with the wow thing, because I think that would fit really well. And I'm going to see if I can find that on YouTube, and I'll post it.
Cool.
Let me see. I think there was something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember. Well, that's all the emails we got, guys.
All right. I think we covered most things.
I think we have too. Any closing thoughts?
No. Besides, I'm totally all for it.
Say that again, Crystal.
I like chicks.
Like chicks. Nice.
I see all the lucky you emails coming now. Yeah. all right, cool.
But yeah, no, I'm based. I was just going to sum it up. I was going to say, basically sounds like people are cool with like whatever with lead characters, no matter what they look like, as long as they're put in the right game.
Exactly.
In the right situations.
As long as they're well-written.
And realistically, it's the same with guy lead characters, too. I mean.
Yeah, very true.
Let's be honest.
Female lead characters will get... True. But realistically, the female lead characters, if they are attractive, they will get more attention than the non-attractive ones.
I agree with that.
As long as they're not, like, overly attractive. That's cool with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they're not overly attractive?
Overly attractive.
No,
yeah.
Like, overly,
if they're too hot, I'm not playing.
Attractive.
Oh, you mean, like, super voluptuous?
Yes. That's exactly what I mean.
Like, if you ever found Chris playing a game with his pants off, that's... No. That's too much.
Well...
Heavenly Sword comes out, and you're kind of like, okay, you know what? Kai is way too hot. Chris, we're not playing this.
No. That would be more of a, okay, you need to put the game down, and obviously I'm not doing my job right.
Score another one for Chris.
Can we please mention that this has never happened, nor will it? Thank you. All right. Good God.
God of War 3 hasn't been released yet.
All right. Well, let's do some new releases, and then we'll wrap up.
Cool.
So, next week... For the Wii, Minicopter Adventure Flight, which is...
exciting sounding.
Yeah, so you get to control a little mini helicopter and fly it around in all sorts of environments. And Baroque, which is an action RPG, and I think it's based off an anime.
I don't know that anime, so I have no idea.
Okay. I watched some videos of it, because I was like, ooh, action RPG. And it looks like it moves a little too slow for me. It's just not very fluid, so I'm going to skip it. But for the DS, Fab 5 Soccer, which is, I'm sure, pretty explanatory, and Plushies.
Is that like the dogs and cats with the Z on the end?
No, it's not a Z. I think this is like an attempt to be like Viva Pinata-ish. So it's quite possible that that's what it is.
That sounds like a pants-off game for Chris.
Like the original Viva Pinata or like the new Viva Pinata?
I don't know. I haven't watched any videos from it or anything, but it says, you know, the descriptions that I saw are, plushies are stuffed animals that have come to life and need your virtual love and care.
Oh, see, that doesn't really sound like Viva Pinata. That sounds more like the cats and dogs thing.
Yeah, it's Nintendogs with stuffed animals. There you go.
Yeah, no. I'll pass.
360, nothing. PS3, nothing. For PS2, Baroque is coming out for that too. And this is an appropriate game for us to have on this particular episode. There's a fighting game coming out next week called Arcana Heart, which is a 2D traditional fighting game that has all female fighters.
All DOA female fighters? Or
no, these are all like anime
style. No, I mean like
looking like
DOA characters.
No, they're not overly voluptuous. The sprites look almost like almost Guilty Gear quality from the videos that I've seen, and there are some crazy ass combos that you can pull off. I saw one that went like on for 30 hits and went up into the air and like up into the top corner of the screen and all kinds of stuff. So,
all right. Well, if we play that game, you have to go easy on me then.
Well, I'm still debating on whether or not I'm going to get it. It does look really
shiny.
Good. Yeah, check out some videos of it. If you like fighting games, check out some videos of it. You might like it.
Well, I like Tekken, so.
PSP is going to get World Championship cards, and that wraps up the release list for next week.
Cool.
Yay.
Nothing interests me, but hey.
And,
I'm still waiting on Dynasty Warriors 6, so...
Yeah, I'm still trying to get that at a good price. Well, that's... We didn't get any emails outside of Question of the Week that are, that are substantial, so... normally, about now, we would do a new Question of the Week, but with the situation with Jason not being... on the show and us not being able to have a chat beforehand, we didn't get a chance to think up one. So hopefully by Monday we will have one out, and go check the post, check the question of the week. You know, where I always have it bolded. We should have one by Monday, and we'll talk about we'll have something to talk about next week.
And where can they find that?
And they can find that at vgevo.com. That's where we usually post our show. And you can send us, after we get the question of the week posted, you can contact us by email at interactivedistractions.com. And we also have a voicemail line that you can contact, and it's 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. We're on Skype as well, Interactive Distractions, all one word. I'm waiting for Jason to come in and say, all lowercase.
All lowercase. Yeah. Sorry, I should have been in there.
We're also on Google Talk, if you have the Google Talk app downloaded, and we're interactivedistractions at gmail.com. Don't forget to play Warhawk with us on Wednesdays. Jeff?
Yeah, man. I won't be, obviously there won't be next Wednesday because
well,
I'll
next
be
week,
gone.
But
yeah, the week after that, I'm definitely game.
Cool.
I am there.
I also wanted to mention that we did get another voicemail, but I did not have time to go grab it to include it in the show. But I know that Eamon sent in a voicemail about Dark Sector, so I'm going to hopefully be able to play that next week. So you guys listen next week to check that out.
Awesome.
You guys have any closing comments?
That is it. I am done. I'm going on vacation. I'm looking forward to it.
Woohoo!
Don't miss me too much, guys.
I'll try not to.
I miss you already.
Aww.
No.
See, that's what you're supposed to say, Chris, you asshole.
I told you. We've already established that I'm an asshole, man. It's okay. Well, Crystal, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Of course.
Yes, thanks a lot.
And listeners, this is the first show in our Chicks in Gaming series that we're going to start doing. You know, we're going to...
I get to be first because I'm the awesomest.
And because other people
can't agree with that,
come on the show. but this is something that we are planning on doing again based on the feedback that we get from you guys. So tell us what you thought of the show. Tell us what you thought of Crystal on the show. And we have a few other females in line that we want to get on the show if they're interested. So let us know what you think. So again, Crystal, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks a lot.
And Jeff, enjoy your vacation.
Will do. I'll be thinking about you guys for a little bit.
With that, we will say goodnight. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.